All right, welcome back. Episode 44, Sports Talk for fans by fans. Brian here. I got Alex with me and a mystery guest here. Paul Jordan, his first time on here, Raiders fan. He'll be joining us here in a second to talk his part and kind of vent about his Raiders. So this week we had a bunch of crazy games, but the first thing we're going to get into is going to be the Jets at the Colts, the Thursday night game. Jets 30, Colts 45, with the Colts running all over the Jets. 260 yards as a team, rushing 8.7 yards per carry. Jonathan Taylor leading up with 172 yards, two rushing touchdowns. And the other thing it kind of is, Carson Wentz continues his crazy start, 17 passing touchdowns, three interceptions. The Eagles kind of looking silly now. We'll see how Carson Wentz does for the rest of the year and thinking Colts can really make a playoff push here. But they can't take care of business with the Jets. Unfortunately for the Jets, they had Mike White. He got hurt. Josh Johnson came in, which we'll talk about later on the fantasy quarterback side. But it looks like Mike White is going to be expected back to start week 10 against the Bills. All right, Alex, let's go to the next one. Cleveland, Cincinnati, Cleveland 41, Cincinnati 16. They get rid of OBJ, and then the Browns look like they were who we thought they were going to be at in the offseason, at least not us, but all the media that talked them up to win the Super Bowl. The Browns defense locked down Joe Burrows, forcing two interceptions, four fumbles, even though they only lost one of the fumbles. Alex, do you attribute this whole game to OBJ, or is this just kind of the Browns locking in and shutting down Cincinnati?
You know what? I actually put more of it on the Bengals defense. Like, me and you were really suspect about the Bengals defense. Early in the year, they stepped up and shut us up by making Baltimore look like they were inadequate on offense. So then we kind of bought into the Bengals defense. Okay, this defense actually is really good. They got trounced. Obviously, we talked about the protection issues with Burrow. That's something we knew was going to be an issue all this year. But the Bengals defense, you can't let the Browns put 41 points on you. I don't care how many turnovers your offenses do. You need a little bit more from the defense.
I think it's kind of funny. The Bengals a couple weeks ago were number one in the AFC North, and within 2 weeks are now last place in the AFC North, even though they're 5-4.
Happens when you lose to the Jets.
Yep. The Jets just straight out dominating playoff teams potentially. So I guess we'll see where this goes. The AFC North is really interesting. All four teams are above 500 as of right now. They are what the NFC West was supposed to be, I guess, maybe. Let's move on to the next one. Alex, just confused the hell out of me and probably everyone. And on top of actually, what a weird weekend in games. Let me just say that first with all the upsets that happened. Denver putting up the first 30 points on Dallas. Denver ran the ball 40 times for 190 yards, including 111 from Javonte Williams. Jerry Jeudy had more catches by himself than Lamb and Cooper combined. Alex, what happened this game to your Cowboys?
They got their butts kicked. That's really what happened. Sometimes in football, it's just not your day. It was not their day in any phase or form of any aspect. They literally had a punt blocked that rolled past the line of scrimmage. Their guy accidentally touches it, and Denver recovered the football and kept going like first down. It baffled me, man. I just had no idea what the heck was going on. Yet after that, I knew it wasn't their day. Long term, offensively, I think they're going to get back on rhythm. Long term, defensively, is where I'm going to have questions on, because this was the question we had at the beginning of the year when we talked about Dallas. We knew their defense wasn't going to be historically bad, but where was it going to be bad? Could they be middle of the road? They so far have been middle of the road, but yesterday they couldn't tackle. Not being able to stop the run poked his ugly head again. They were one of the worst run-stopping teams last year, and they had a team that could actually run it on them physically. They got out physically outmatched, so, yeah, they might want to burn that game film from that game.
All right, and that win, of course, kind of helps Denver keep pace with all the other teams in the AFC West. I do want to throw out, Jordan, quick quiz. Of the four teams in the AFC West, which team has the best point differential of the Chargers, Raiders, Chiefs, and Broncos? Do you know?
Point differential. My guess would be the Broncos.
Yeah, of course, because I just, we just talked about him. So, unfortunately, for a second, the Broncos are a plus 34 in point differential. The Chargers and Chiefs are both a minus in point differential. So it's kind of crazy. Raiders are the second best in the division at plus 7. Broncos, the best in division at plus 34, which I don't think we expected that. So Broncos are staying competitive in the division. Probably not going to last with the remaining schedule they got, but let's move on to the next game. Alex, Houston and Jordan. Houston 9, Miami 17. Tua doesn't play. Miami wins. That's all we're going to say. Moving to the next game. Atlanta 27, New Orleans 25. The logic of this. Follow the logic. The Saints beat the Bucs. The Falcons, without Ridley, go to New Orleans and beat the Saints. What the hell is going on? Jordan, can you make sense of that?
You really can't make sense of anything the Falcons do as of late. You just look like they're going to just be absolutely terrible. You get bad news. You don't have your number one receiver. This is right after a week where your top two receivers were out, and you're fully forced to rely on Kyle Pitts as your receiving game. But Cordell Patterson, oh man, he's just stepped up on a lo
Oh my
another
God.
level. And he's just like, he's been amazing for them. Like, he's looking like a wide receiver number one and a running back number one. Like, you don't really get that package too often. I mean, you got McCaffrey, you got Kamara who do these things, but you don't expect that from Patterson, year 7, 8 years in the league and stuff like that. And then all of a sudden, boom, now he shows what he can do and everything. It's crazy. But I didn't expect that from defense, one of the top defenses in football. But to allow that is it was actually shocking.
Yeah, and Patterson, Alex, is there an award that we can give him this year? Like, it's not a comeback player of the year award, like, and he's not good enough for MVP. Like, is there an award that he is eligible for? Because he deserves something. Like, a Pro Bowl doesn't mean shit nowadays. So.
I mean, you could put him on the list of the offensive MVPs, like, because that's a thing by itself. Especially since Derrick Henry just went bye-bye for the next half a season at least. I mean, I would put him in that consideration just for the simple fact that he might lead to his team with rushing and receiving. And it's going to be absolutely crazy. And if you somehow, some way got Patterson on fantasy on the waiver wire, I mean, you're absolutely killing it right now.
Yeah, that's one of those where probably if you got him, you're probably going to be one of those playoff teams that are competing. Just kind of, there's always certain people that kind of drive playoff teams on fantasy. Matty Ice, kind of like what Jordan was saying, didn't you know he had a great passing game though? 343 passing yards, two touchdowns, no interceptions. Once again, he's doing great things with minimal weapons. I mean, Pitts didn't really do a lot that game, but. Here we go. The Braves just won the World Series, and now the Falcons, who are 4-4, are the current seventh seed in the NFC playoff race. I don't think anyone would have thought the Falcons would be in the playoff picture, but they're currently the number seven seed. So we'll see where that goes. Next, we're talking Paul Jordan's Las Vegas Raiders, lost 16-23 to the Giants. Seeing Carlson miss that 25-yard field goal was really shocking. And because that would have put you guys within what, like I you know, under 4 points or something like that, to make it a little more competitive a game. It was a must-win game to kind of separate yourself in the division instead of now you're tied with the Chargers at the top. Giants won two last three to kind of keep their playoff hopes alive. But Paul, man, that game, how much of a letdown was that game?
It hurts. It hurts because it was one of those games where when you watch it, you see all the mistakes that we're making, like the opportunities that were given to us. It was one of those games where it was like a trap game. We had every opportunity to win, a lot of miscues, as Derek Carr said in the interview, miscues, not emotion, through the chaotic week we had. But it was more miscues, and you could tell it wasn't, it was just, they were just all over the place. His passing was horrendous. Decision making was worse, and then that last fumble didn't help out anything. I put that one all on Derek Carr, but I don't say that Derek Carr is the problem. I think that one defense stepped up. The running game held us in. The receivers did what they had to do. Quarterback just didn't do what he needed to do with the ball.
Yeah, so you guys obviously lost John Gruden. We all know that happened a couple weeks ago. Henry Ruggs with that tragic incident that just happened, and Derek Carr talking and putting all support out there for him. you guys just cut your corner, Arnett, who did some crazy stuff, including Alex. I think you sent that message. He crashed how many cars within what span of time?
When we first came in the league, he crashed 4 rental cars within a month.
that's insane. Obviously, that's not why he got cut, but just a lot of stuff building up. So, I mean, Paul, is this kind of not the Ruggs thing, but is this kind of a good thing going forward? Is this almost kind of like you're burning the whole forest down and rebuilding from scratch? Is this kind of what the Raiders need to do with what's going on right now? How do you feel about the team going forward?
I think that we need to really sit down and reevaluate. I don't think we're at the point where we need to hit the reset button because all of our pieces are still in place. I mean, Ruggs is adored as he was just a piece in there. And going out and signing DeSean Jackson today is a big help. See what happens with the Odell Beckham situation. That's another guy that they could bring in if they can get him off of the claim off the waivers. But I just think that right now they need to really evaluate what they do with these first round picks. Our first and second round picks have been atrocious as of late, and we haven't been able to keep them. These two guys were our first two picks. And then now they're gone. So do we take the Rams approach and just completely say, hey, we're never going to draft another first rounder again? We're just going to focus strictly on using those trades to uplift positional players, solid stars that are out there that we can use these draft picks to go? Or do you just settle in? I just think that, at the end of the day, our core's there. Everything's in place. Continue to push, but figure out what we're going to do with our drafts. Best man available and keep it pushing.
All right. I mean, and the thing is, the Raiders got some good pieces to build around. Hopefully they keep Carr. Now, you've always advocated that Carr's a great quarterback. Me and Alex, we've kind of bashed the Raiders draft plan the last couple of years. I mean, that's a nice way of saying that. And I think you know that, yeah. Jordan. So hey, maybe you're right. If we don't hit on these home runs and these draft picks, kind of like the Tennessee Titans, maybe they should just go in and make these crazy trades and kind of following suit with the Rams. But I guess we'll see. Interested to see how much the Rams can keep it together, or the Raiders can keep it together and be competitive going forward. You spoke about OBJ. Alex, do you have any updates on OBJ with where he may go and where he may sign by?
So as of today, he was officially put on waivers. So with the waiver rule, I believe it's by, I think he comes off of waivers, doesn't get claimed within, I think by either 1 o'clock or 3 o'clock Central Time, he's free to sign with whoever he wants to. So I think what the Browns did, they did kind of like a booking in and around to make it where to release him kind of wouldn't hurt their books as much. I think there's their way to kind of spread around his hit for being waived. The waiver wire is based off, wins and losses. So obviously Detroit has first take. Detroit's already came out and said they're not going to pick him up. ODB has already said he wants to go to a team that's a competitive team. Teams have been thrown out there, the 49ers, also the Saints. I think the Saints the Saints were close to trading for him, and I think they couldn't get a trade done. So he's obviously from New Orleans, so that would be something he might be interested in. Also, we talk about teams that actually financially are going to be able to actually, financially get him. I think the Raiders are going to be on that list too as well. But right now they say kind of watch the 49ers and the Saints right now.
All right, let's move on. New England, Carolina. Paul, one word answer. Should Sam Darnold be a starting quarterback next year?
No.
Thank you. All right. So New England 24, Carolina 6. This is just kind of crazy. I want to throw this out there. The Patriots have now won 3 straight. They have only one less win than Tom Brady's Buccaneers. The Patriots also have the second best point differential in all of the AFC. And they're also half a game behind the Bills now. So while all the chaos has been happening within the league, here come the Patriots, led by Mac Jones, to possibly steal the division from the Bills and be relevant again. They put Sam Darnold in his place. He went 16 for 33, 3 interceptions, and the Patriots just keep finding ways to win. Alex, what are your thoughts on the Patriots and just kind of this turnaround that they're slowly having?
Well, I wouldn't say it's a turnaround, but they're doing what they're supposed to, take advantage of teams that are bad teams. They have really only just really lost to, like, good teams. They haven't really beat really good teams. So they've been destroying the bad teams as of right now. And when you beat, like, the bad teams or the kind of 50-50 games, that's good enough to get you in the playoffs. That's an 8 or 10 win team. I mean, let's be honest, you're gonna get about 4 to 6 games probably per year in the NFL of just teams you just should be able to beat. You split, maybe with some of the worser teams here, better teams here or there. I mean, they're 5-4. They're right in the mix. They're definitely in the heart of this division. The only thing about it is that, you kind of look at the schedule going forward between the Patriots and Bills. You kind of play that who's going to win what game, who's not going to win what a game. We'll talk about the Bill games in a second, but after that game, I'm kind of having my hands up in the air, like, what the heck else is going to happen in the NFL?
Yeah. Speaking of crazy game, 6, Jacksonville 9, Josh Allen picked, sacked, and recovered fumble against Josh Allen, giving Urban Meyer and Trevor Lawrence their first win in the United States of America, and second on the season. Paul, does this Bills loss question their status as a Super Bowl contender? Because it was pretty embarrassing.
I don't even know what to say about this game. It was the craziest thing I'd ever seen. I had Josh Allen for fantasy, and I'm sitting there like, wow, this is baffling. This was my one guarantee for this week was the Bills over the Jaguars. The one guarantee where there was no questions, and you're looking at a 9-6 game. Did this say that the Bills are done? No, of course not. It's just one game. But yeah, I think that there's a big question, even in that division, of who's going to win the division. It was a clear cut Bills before, but I think some teams might sneak in there now, and Patriots being one of them that could cause some trouble in that one.
Yeah, the Bills, that was just kind of a crazy game. So move on to Minnesota 31 at Baltimore 34. So if you're a betting person, you should always bet Minnesota covering whatever the spread is, because they will find a way to lose or win every game by within a field goal. The Vikings look like they had this game in hand. They're up by 2 touchdowns, and then Baltimore scored 21 answered points. But are there any more teams, more battle tests than these two? Probably not. And to me, is Lamar Jackson a quiet MVP candidate? He had 3 more passing touchdowns, 120 yards rushing. Alex, do you think Lamar is in the MVP race?
That's funny because they have it written right down here in my notes of like, okay, why aren't we talking about Lamar Jackson? Because I think he's the first player with the first 8 games that I think have 2,000 yards passing and 800 yards rushing already. So, I mean, he's on pace to have a monster year. And I don't think their defense is what they're, what they've been in the past. I think they're giving up a lot through the air. I don't think they have a steady run game. It's really just another guy every other week. Their offensive line has been atrocious. On losing Orlando Brown kind of hurt more than I thought it did. And somehow, some way, he's got him at 6-2. So yeah, I think he's got to be in that conversation. I know with the media, they give you an MVP and they get bored with you and decide you can't be MVP anymore. But I think he's right there with all the other big names.
Yep. All right. Let's move on next. The Cardinals at the Niners. I'm not going to say the score because I'm ashamed of this game. But no J.J. Watt, no Kyler Murray, no DeAndre Hopkins, no Chase Edmonds because he got hurt early. No problem. We have Colt McCoy, who's going to lead the Cardinals and completely embarrass my Niners in San Francisco. Niners have lost 10 of 11 in San Francisco, giving the faithful no faith. So I hate my fan base right now. I hate being a fan of the Niners, and that's all we're going to talk about. It was completely embarrassing. But the Niners are somehow 1 game out of a playoff position. I don't know how that makes any sense. All right. Next, Chargers 27, Eagles 24, last second field goal by their new kicker, Dustin Hopkins, who I still don't understand why Washington replaced Dustin Hopkins when he only missed a couple kicks all year with a guy named Blewett. Not really a smart move by that franchise, but here we are. Herbert threw for 356 yards with 2 passing touchdowns, 1 rushing touchdown, with a vintage Keenan Allen night with 12 catches and a yards per catch of, like, I think 8 yards per catch, which is what he did all last year. So good win for the Chargers.
Paul, do you think the biggest threat to the Raiders winning the AFC West is the Chargers or the Chiefs or the Broncos?
It's scary, the combination that it could be. I think the scariest team that you don't want to see would be the Chiefs get hot and actually do something. But as bad as they look, it only takes a moment for them to get good. I mean, it's their quarterback who's playing bad, and we've seen the best of him, and now we're seeing the worst of him. And if you find that point in between, that's what he is, and that's pretty darn good. So once he figures it out, it could be scary. But I think right now, today, I think the Broncos are the team that is a question mark. They have a really good running game, as they always have. They got a dual-headed monster with Williams and Gordon, and either one of them could get going. And you know, it did complement that with your receivers. Tim Patrick has been outstanding in spurts, and you know, they did that without Noah Fant. So you're looking at this game as, hey, maybe this team found their way and got their footing. And they're keeping all their games close, so that could be scary as well. So I think if I had to choose, it'd be the Broncos would be the scariest threat to my Raiders.
They're the biggest unknown. They literally have like nothing to lose. Like they shouldn't be winning. It's really weird. So they may have the toughest schedule remaining, but what you said about the Chiefs, man, that it's completely spot on. It's completely crazy. We've talked so much trash on the Chiefs with how much they've underperformed, but here they are, 5-4, half a game out of the AFC West in a playoff position already. So that's a team you don't like. If I was in the AFC West or AFC in general, and they're the 7 seed, I'm terrified. Like that's the last team you want to see as a 7 seed is the Chiefs. So, moving on, we're going to talk about the Chiefs. Green Bay 7, Kansas City 13. What a weird game! In a battle of completely ineffective quarterbacks, Mahomes outduels the future Green Bay quarterback of Jordan Love. And watching that game was interesting because the whole time all they did, Jordan Love, was blitz. They blitzed the crap out of him, and he just wasn't clicking with any of the wide receivers. It was a tough game to watch. And kind of what Paul's saying with Mahomes, man, it almost looks like something's wrong with him. Like, I wouldn't be surprised after the year we find out he's got some kind of shoulder injury, some kind of hand injury, some kind of grip injury. Like, he just doesn't look right because he's missing throws. He doesn't miss, like, even checkdowns out of the backfield, overthrowing Kelce on easy pass. Just something's wrong. I'd like to see what happens at the end of the year if he has any issues. Let's end this week on possibly wrapping. This is great. Wrapping up the chaos with the biggest chaos of Tennessee 28, Rams 16. Tennessee has now gone on to win by beating four straight playoff teams. Four teams made the playoffs last year: the Bills, the Chiefs, the Colts, and the Rams. There's only been three teams in the past 15 seasons I've done that, and all three of those teams went on to the Super Bowl. This defense, Alex, we keep trash talking them, and me and Alex, we have to shut up now. There's nothing else I can say. Is me and Alex were wrong. We're not wrong that they wasted their first round picks because they 100% did. But they have the two top safeties in football right now. The number three per PFF, number one per PFF with Byard and Hooker. Landry has 9 sacks to lead the team. Simmons is dominant as a defensive tackle. Vrabel, you know, is a defensive minded coach. Alex, I'm just going to say this. They're not the best team on paper, but they've proven that they are the best team in the NFL right now. Do you agree or disagree?
I don't know about the best thing. I think they're up there. I think they're coaching. They have great coaching, and they tighten up their defensive problems. I only trashed their secondary. I said their quarterbacks were suspect, but they've kind of tightened some things up and
I trashed everything.
Yeah,
I'll own that one.
their front is a decent NFL front. I've always known that. Landry is finally coming around. He's my first round pick to kind of a little slow out the jump. Simmons was a first round pick, but he was basically hurt his first rookie year, so he's really on his second year when you really think about it. So they got some young guys up in the front. They're kind of starting to come together. But when I look at this game, and I know you try to give Titus your props because you don't want to go back on your Stafford bash again, but I'm going to jump on the Stafford bash. This game came down basically to Matt Stafford's turnovers. Titans offensively wise didn't move the ball. They weren't offensive juggernauts. When you throw basically two picks, a pick six and a pick to get you right down on the 3-yard line, and it's a defensive game, those are like killers. So, Like when that happened, the game for all Texas was over. I mean, they weren't coming back. It was just one of those games.
Yeah, I mean, I don't defend Stafford because, you know, I openly talk about Stafford and how I think he's being overvalued. Just kind of like we talk about the Browns. We think the Browns are overvalued. I don't, you know, I think Stafford's in a great situation. I still don't think he's a top five, top 10 quarterback. I think he's got amazing arm talent. But yeah, that game showed us some terrible intercept. Like that was some Carson Wentz decision-making there. It was just, I mean, actually literally was the same thing, but it is just Brian, real suspect. So
he went full Wentz. You don't go full Wentz, man.
Yeah, you don't go full Wentz. Yeah, you never go full Wentz. But there's no coming back from that. You get fired from your team, your city boos you, and yeah, nothing good happens there. And then you link up with your old coach. So who's the old Lions coach for them? Jim Bob Cooter? Is that who's going to go back and play for in the future?
Yeah.
But so let's move on to the fantasy side of things, talking fantasy quarterbacks. The top five fantasy quarterbacks, Herbert was number one, Lamar Jackson is number two, Matty Ice, number three. Number four, Josh Johnson was the number four fantasy quarterback. And I just kind of want to say that if Mike White can make the top five last week and Josh Johnson can make the top five this week, I'm almost at the point where I might as well just start playing every Jets quarterback because they're going to be behind every single game and just see what happens. Because like on DraftKings, they got to be cheap as hell. Number five, Carson Wentz. So Carson Wentz, once again, makes his appearance up in the top five. I mean, we said last week, pick him up. He's got some great matchups coming up. You have to ignore the Philadelphia Eagles version of Carson Wentz. It's a very different now. Yes, we just trash talked his two terrible decision-making interceptions. You take those two away, he's got 17 touchdowns and one interception on the season. So still phenomenal for fantasy football. Alex, what do you got for fantasy quarterbacks? Is there any waiver wire pickups or anything we should be looking at, injury concerns?
Well, Josh Johnson is one of the people everyone wants to pick up. However, Robert Saleh said today that Mike White's going to be the starting quarterback. So those who were getting ready to jump on that bandwagon, I would definitely stop on that. Trevor Siemian had a decent day, but it wasn't great. But he's still, if you're still looking for a quarterback, he's owned in 3.7% of leagues in the ESPN. Also, Matty Ice, for some reason, he's still putting up the top-tier numbers. He's only owned in 43.9% of leagues right now. So if you're still kind of clinging toward top quarterback and he's kind of unperforming, I will still look over at Matty Ice.
Yeah. Jordan, did you know Trevor Siemian was even in the league before he started this game?
I didn't even know he was in the league still.
Yeah.
How are you buried on that roster with Winston and Hill? And then Trevor Siemian is out there on the field. It's crazy.
Yeah. And then here he was number 12 quarterback in fantasy this week. So it's really, really weird.
The thing kind of sleeper is, I got a sleeper out there for you. Cooper Rush. After this week's performance, I think that he should be the top waiver wire pick.
I think that's funny. Cause I think someone else is openly messaging Alex about that recently.
Yes.
It's every backup quarterback on the Cowboys last year's Andy Dalton was holding the spot. For fantasy quarterback, the last thing, something kind of look at for Patrick Mahomes. So those guys that have owned him as a quarterback, he has not broken over 15 fantasy points in the last three games, which is really weird. And he's had two of those 3 weeks. He's bat below 10 fantasy points. Moving on to running back this week. Do you know who the top running back was in fantasy this last week?
That would be the notorious James Conner.
100%. Edmonds goes down with an injury. Conner just absolutely dominates and bitch slaps the Niners defense. Receiving, rushing. He had 40 points in, you know, your standard PPR leagues. Jonathan Taylor, who's probably going to be the number one running back now with Derrick Henry gone, was number two at 34 points. Chubb finally makes an appearance back in the top five. Mixon was number four. And then Nyheim Hines broke into the top five, being number five with some PPR duty with the Colts. How much fun do you like watching the Eagles running back situation? Like, how about this? Did you know Jordan Howard was still in the league before he started playing football last week?
And outside of fantasy, I actually was tracking him I actually was like, where is this guy? There's guys that just come in there, disappear. He actually did pretty decent for them for a little bit. Then they sat him down, went crazy with Sanders and everything. So you would just kind of wonder when he was going to get his opportunity. But yeah, Jordan Howard's one of those guys that, I was actually on big on Scott. I thought Scott was going to be the guy again, like last week, but it's the Eagles. So, if you want to play them, juggle. But yeah, it's really weird week for the Eagles.
I'm guessing Nick Sirianni is just going to trust veteran running backs. And I'm almost at the point where I almost feel like Jordan Howard's going to be the lead running back for the rest of the year, is almost what it feels like, because he refused to give the ball to Miles Sanders for whatever reason. Jordan Howard's a veteran. So, Alex, what do you think about it? Do you think Jordan Howard is going to be the lead back the rest of the year? Because I kind of feel like that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, right now, they're going to be shipping with Howard right now. In the last couple of weeks, they've kind of been kind of a power run game, so they've kind of been feeding the ball to Howard. So, yeah, I would expect him to kind of be that lead thing, at least for the next couple of weeks.
Their upcoming schedule, they got the Broncos, the Saints, so it's got maybe some defenses are kind of hard to run. So I guess we'll see how this works out for the Eagles. Alex, do you have any other waiver information? I guess before that, we know Chase Edmonds is hurt. He's going to be out for, it looks like, a couple of weeks. Connor's the obvious pickup, that clearly if he's number one running back, and he's going to be great for that system. But outside of that, is there any other waiver wire pickups that you?
Yeah, you talk about Connor, talk about Howard. Howard's owning 8.5% of the ESPN leagues. One of the bigger, faster pickups right now, and I understand why, it was Adrian Peterson. He's owning about 52.9% of the leagues. He only got the ball 10 times last week. So you could kind of expect him to maybe get more carries. But if you play AP this past week, if he didn't get that those touchdowns at the end, you're probably sitting on donuts right now. Another back to kind of look at that is Stevenson from New England. New England's running the ball a lot, mainly with their rookie quarterback, so they're kind of spreading the carries right now. So even at the when you're talking about even giving half the carries to one of the running backs, Stevenson is still getting enough carries that you can be him as an RB2, RB3 if you're in a deeper league. He's owning 5.9% of the leagues right ESPN leagues right now, so he's something to be picked up. And Devontae Freeman, yeah, I know the Ravens running back situation is kind of all over the place. Sometimes it looks like it's one running back with number, but Freeman right now is on the 13.8% of the leagues in ESPN. So if you're looking for a running back, you need to pick up for a bye week. These are the running backs you might want to look at.
Yeah, the last one I kind of throw out. McKinsick is only owned in 52% of leagues. Washington's going to be playing from behind. They come out of the bye and they play Tampa Bay, who just lost, so they're going to be pissed off. So my guess is Tampa Bay is going to put up tons of points because that's what Tom Brady does. And McKissick, my guess, is going to kind of have a big part in that because Gibson's injury is not going to a week. He's going to have the injury the rest of the year. Paul, since you had that sweet Cooper Rush quarterback one, do you have a running back one you want us to look out for?
I got a couple. I think that we got to look at Ty Johnson. When you look at that Jets offense, you're looking at Michael Carter going out there and handling the bulk of the duties and doing an amazing job for a rookie. If he's available in any of your rosters, go ahead and scoop him, but he shouldn't. So Ty Johnson is the next option. He's only owned at 20% of leagues. I think that he has the same as McKissick, just the little duties. And then you got to look at Kenyan Drake, who's a backup, but he's going to get more upticks in duty. They're going to be passing a lot more. I think they're top six, top 10 in pass attempts per game. So you're going to see more passing than you are going to see running from that team. You're going to see more Drake, and those are my guys.
Those are actually good points because Drake is actually his past three. He didn't. He kind of started slow in the year, but his past three games, he's gone over 16 fantasy points per game in his last three games, as a good complement. And then the same with the other one you just mentioned, Ty Johnson. He's only owned, like you said, not much in leagues, but in the past 4 weeks, he has broken 10 fantasy points per game. So if you need a flexer at running back two, these are some great options there. Move on to wide receiver. The number one wide receiver, Elijah Moore, finally had that breakout game. Devontae Smith, had a breakout game again. It's kind of weird. He's your number one and two. Then you had Keenan Allen, who, you know, we expect him there. Then you had Zacchaeus, the what, number three receiver for the Falcons, was number four. And then Hollywood Brown, it was number five, which I want to talk about here really quickly. I think a lot of people don't understand what he's having. I have I've acquired him in every league I possibly can. He is putting up number one receiver numbers this year. I think he's got four games with double digit targets. He's getting the ball. He's getting the ball probably as much as Andrews, if not more. He's got the 6 month receiving yards in the whole NFL. Also got about 20 to 30 less targets than everyone else up in that top of that list. So, and he's, you know, he's got a couple touchdowns in the year too. So I think if there's a number one receiver you can go after cheap that people aren't really tracking, that's the wide receiver I would highly recommend you guys go after right now. Alex, what do you got for the injuries and waiver wire stuff on the wide receivers?
You already talked about a couple of the guys. Elijah Moore, he's on in 15% of the most ESPN leagues. So I think mainly right now, if we're looking at Johnson or Mike Williams, the quarterback, every just wide receiver we talked about it, it's fair game right now because you're probably going to be able in your lead to grab any one of those guys right now, especially since Davis has kind of been in and out of the lineup with injuries. Also talked about Zacchaeus. We were trying to figure out who's going to be that wide receiver to kind of pick up the load for Atlanta since Ridley's out. Gage was supposed to be the guy. He's owned in 16.3% of leagues, but Zacchaeus is owned in less than 1% of leagues. So if you're looking for kind of some wide receivers to kind of steal, Matty Ice has kind of been on the tear lately. He's a guy you got to want to pick up.
Yeah, this one out there, even though I don't want to, because I want to be selfish. Brandon Ayuk's only owned in 45% of leagues. He's gotten targeted 15 times with 10 catches last two games. Deebo Samuel has a calf injury, which could flare up at any time. Samuel has never finished a season healthy. I think Brandon Ayuk has a good second half. So if you want to take a chance on another wide receiver, that's another one. Paul, you got any quick tidbits on wide receivers before we move on?
I talked about him earlier when I was talking about the Broncos. Tim Patrick, still, I mean, you get Judy back. You got Sutton out there. You get Font back. But Tim Patrick has been consistent. He's only owned in 25% of the league.
Yep, which is crazy. And I think he only has three the whole year under 12 fantasy points per game. So that's definitely someone worth looking at. Let's move on to tight ends. Alex, this is the first time I can say this all year. Tight ends is what we thought they would be. Tight ends have been a complete cluster all year. Number one was Kittle. Number two is Kelce. Number three is Waller. Everything is right in the NFL now, except for this cluster of games that we had this last week. But tight ends are back on track. So the one thing I'm going to keep throwing out there is Dan Arnold. This guy I keep saying you guys need to pick up. Once again, the top 10, still not owned by everyone. He had 10 targets, 4 catches, 60 yards. Is he a top tight end? No, but he's going to get you about 10 fantasy points every week, which is what you need as a tight end that you don't put a lot of investment and capital on. Alex, question for you on Kelce. Is this the time trading him in dynasty and keeper leagues? Because yes, he is a top three tight end, but he is not what he used to be. It looks like he's kind of slowly falling off, or is this just a Patrick Mahomes issue?
I think it's more of a Patrick Mahomes issue. If you're able to kind of sell him and sell really high, I definitely would think about trading him. But right now, people who are good fantasy owners are trying to buy him low since he's not maybe is as consistent as he was before. I mean, he had a crazy year last year. This year, not as much as far as touchdowns is wise. So that's the only thing about it is right now I got him in two of my leagues right now. And, you know, it's one of those things of, yeah, I trade him if I could get, you know, a high value for him. But right now, no one's really buying that high value for Kelce right now.
Alex, is there a tight end that we should be looking for that's a low key kind of someone that may break out?
We already talked about your boy Arnold. We keep pushing that, and for some reason, people aren't getting it. Your guy that you picked earlier in this year has finally actually got healthy, Evan Ingram. He actually showed up this past Sunday. He's owning 26.8% of the leagues right now. So if you're looking for a tight end and everyone forgot about it, you want to pick up on the waiver wire, he's a good one to pick up. Ryan Griffin was a top 10 tight end this week from the New York Jets. He's only less than 1% of the leagues right now. I definitely would, you know, we talked about before about the Jets actually have offensive weapons you can actually draft or actually pick up to try to see if you can steal. I will put Griffin in that bone as well.
I do want to say that Engram also has three straight games of over 10 fantasy points per game, so he is kind of producing consistently. Paul, is there any tight ends we should look out for that you're tracking?
The only one I'm really tracking at this time, because tight ends, I hate them.
Is Waller. Thank you.
Pat Free for month from Pittsburgh.
Yep.
he's a guy that just they don't really have a big play receiver going out right now. Deontay Johnson is your PPR cap. He's just going to get everything, and then Claypool is going to get those two, three big plays, and then everything is basically Harris and to whoever else wants it. So I think he has a lot of opportunities there, and that's my pick.
Yeah, and Smith-Schuster, you know, that's someone that is a PPR guy also that's gone for the year. Eric Ebron has essentially been put off as he's got injury issues, but he is the number two now. They're giving it to Freiermuth to be the number one. So, yeah, I completely agree with you. I think we talked about him a couple weeks ago, but he's someone that people really don't see yet that could kind of take off. All right, so that covers all the fantasy talk that we wanted to get into. Alex, is there one or two games coming up next week that you're looking forward to watching before we wrap this up?
Yeah, I got a couple. One is there's going to be the Saints and the Titans. I'm looking at that one. We already talked about how the Titans have kind of been on a run lately. The Saints are kind of reeling after obviously beating Tampa Bay a couple weeks ago, then losing to Atlanta. It's very important for the Saints right now. They want to keep up with trying to win a division. And the Titans, we kind of can see where they actually look like without Derrick Henry. So that's a big game they got.
Oh, man. For me, I'm kind of curious to watch the Dan Quinn Bowl, the Falcons at the Cowboys. So we'll see how that one goes. Paul, my guess is your game of the week, I'm guessing, is your Raiders, right?
It's the Raiders in Kansas City. Rivalry week. It's Sunday night football. You know, can Mahomes get it going? And can the Raiders fix their wrong, right their wrongs? That's pretty much how it breaks down.
It's Vegas and Kansas City is favored by 2.5 points. Do you think you guys are pulling off this week?
Yeah, we play Kansas City pretty well. I think if I went back and looked, we play a pretty close under a touchdown in the last three games. I feel like you know, we played them pretty tight. It's normally a shootout, and if Patrick Mahomes isn't his normal self, then I think we run away with it.
All right, cool. All right, so that's pretty much everything we got for the week. Alex, is there any closing things to say before we wrap up here?
Nothing. I just think we wish everyone to get on our Facebook page, like and subscribe, obviously listen to us, but also when you get on the Facebook page, please interact with us. Let us know what you think about the broadcast. Is there anything particular that you want to see or things that you want to see better? Let us know. We're obviously every week, you know, we're doing different things and trying to figure out a sweet spot. So if there any feedback you guys want to send to us, you can feel free to send for us on Facebook.
Definitely. Paul, thank you for your, joining us finally, and hopefully make it back on here again. Any last closing remarks you want to make?
No, thank you for having me. It's awesome talking to you too. It's always been a good deal. It's going back and forth, definitely. Talking football. It's awesome. Thanks for having
me. Definitely. We can get you on maybe if you want to talk basketball or UFC stuff later. We can make that happen too. So thanks for joining us, guys. Episode 44. We'll catch you guys back next week with episode 45. And like Alex said, please give us a get a little share action, love, reviews there, and likes, and all that stuff helps support us. So we appreciate it, and we'll catch you guys next week.